The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
But today we're going to talk about this subject, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. We're going to be coming from Mark. If you go to Mark, chapter 10, is that correct? Mark 10? I might have typed down the wrong thing. Let's go ahead and flip to the next slide. We'll be able to follow on with the slides as we read. I would like everyone to stand as we read. I think Mark 10, 46 through 52. And the scripture says, then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting on the side begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Father, we bless you for these words that you have given us, that you penned so long ago from this story of this man that was in need of something. And Lord God, as we think about our needs, Lord, let us reflect back upon him. Open our hearts and our minds, our ears, so that we might receive what you have today. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. So everybody can sit down. So let's talk a little bit about the timing of this event. So what we find here in this particular scripture, we notice that Jesus is in Jericho, and he's leaving Jericho, right? And he's actually on his way to Bethany and then on to Jerusalem. So this would be his last time in Jericho. And what we find out is he's going up to Jerusalem and going to Bethany and to the Mount of Olives. He is going to ask some of his disciples to, hey, I need you to go grab a pony for me because I am going to make my triumphant entry. He didn't tell them that, but I'm going to make this entry. And that week, what we will see is people will be laying down their cloaks, throwing down palm branches, and they will be shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. They will be welcoming Jesus in on this triumphal entry. But a week later, those people will be saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And this is where we pick up the story. As he's leaving town for his final trip, his final entry into Jerusalem. Now, Bartimaeus and the group don't understand that, but this is what is occurring. And what we're going to see as we look at this story, we're going to see four characters, four individuals that play a very important role in this story and can teach us a lot about our lives and where we are. So, when we look at that first person, the first person is this guy by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. And verse 46 said, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So we see what he was doing. But first of all, I want to talk to you about what Bartimaeus was supposed to be. What he was supposed to be. You see, he was a son, so that means he would be an heir, a helper, a junior. In those days, you would find that a father, if he was a carpenter, his son would probably be a carpenter. If he was a sheep herder, his son would herd sheep. If he was an innkeeper, his son would take over that business. We also would have understood that Bartimaeus' father, Mr. Timaeus, he had certain expectations for his son. Could you imagine it? He's outside of the room, and they announce, the midwife comes out and announces and says, Bartimaeus, you have a son. And he would say, I have a son. What will that son be? Wow, a son. That meant so much at that time. His expectations, you know, maybe my Now, you better not race against my son, because he's the swiftest son of all the men's sons in town. Or maybe my son would grow up and be big and strong, and he would be the grappler, the warrior of my town. And all those little boys, hey, you better not wrestle with my son, because he's going to win. And everybody would be afraid to wrestle Bartimaeus. Psalms 128:3 says, your sons will be like olive shoots. You see, he was supposed to be productive in the future. That's what he was looking to. Could you imagine that? You know, my son, I would take him to the evening circle with me. And in Jewish tradition, and what happens at night, they would have a fire, and all the men in the village would gather around this fire and form a circle. And they would talk about, well, you know, that wolf came and was trying to attack my sheep, and I killed that wolf. And they would say, great job. Or they would talk about the crops. And you would have all the men together, and all of their sons would be sitting around that circle behind the dads just listening to the conversation. Because that's what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to grow up and be a man and learn his father's trade. And he was supposed to have a wife, and he was going to have children. He would be that tree that produced fruit. His father's hope for continuing his name and his lineage was in that little baby boy, Bartimaeus. That's how Timaeus would live on for years and years and years to come. And it was in his son. That's what he thought. But what was Bartimaeus? All his father's hopes and dreams changed when he realized that he couldn't see. It was no longer what would he be, but his father began to think, what will become of my son? Instead of being an innkeeper or a farmer or a shepherd, he will be a beggar. Instead of being that tree that was productive and was providing, like we talked about from Psalms 128, he would be on the side of the road saying, alms for the poor. A brother, can you spare a dime? Instead of children, his quiver would be full of hopelessness and despair. Instead of sitting by the evening circle with his dad or as a grown-up with his son, he was just sitting on the side of the road, begging. But that lets us think, well, what about us? What were we supposed to be? What were the expectations that our parents had for us? My dad wanted me to be a lawyer. No, I didn't want to do that. But was it supposed to be a lawyer or an engineer or a preacher or a doctor or a teacher? What were these expectations that your family had for you? And maybe you even had for yourself. Maybe you watched your family dynamics and said, as a dad, I'm going to be a better dad than my dad was. Or as a wife, I'm going to be a better wife to my husband than my mom was to my dad. I'm going to be different. What club or clique or circle are we not a part of because of our own problems and our own issues that we have? You see, many of us are just like Bartimaeus, and we are sitting beside the road begging as life goes by. So we've talked about that first person that we wanted to talk about, Mr. Bartimaeus, but now there's a second group that I want to talk about. Those are the witnesses. Witnesses? Yes, there were witnesses. Verse 48 says, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. Well, it had to be witnesses if he heard, because Bartimaeus could not see. And these witnesses were important because they became the eyes for Bartimaeus. You see, they were the ones that say, well, you know, as Bartimaeus is sitting there and they're standing over having a little conversation, well, you know, I think I saw Jesus in town the other day. And the other guy, yeah, absolutely, because I remember I saw the sons of thunder, and then I remember seeing Matthew over by the corner over there. Well, wait a minute. There he is right there. I think Jesus is coming. Yes, he's coming this way. Oh, isn't that so nice? He picked up that young little girl and gave her a hug and a kiss, but he's walking this way. He's going to be here in a few minutes. You see, things that they knew. Maybe on one day they talked about Jesus' year of inauguration. Remember that year when there was this wedding in Canaan and they ran out of wine and somebody turned the water into wine? Well, that was Jesus. Or maybe he heard about this woman at this well, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus came up and told her everything about herself and then gave her this water that was called living water. Or maybe he heard about Jesus' year of popularity when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, when you're angry, that's like killing somebody, or when you lust, that's like committing adultery. But don't worry about that, because there are these beatitudes, these attitudes that I want you to have. Maybe he heard about that, or maybe he heard, no, that's not the story. Maybe he heard this story. Well, you know, these guys were out in the boat. The waves were roaring high. The water was coming in. They were paling out the boat. They turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, are you just going to sit there? And he looked at him and he said, peace, be still. And the water just got coming. Or maybe it was his year of opposition when all of these people were gathered around and the disciples came up and said, look, Jesus, you got to send these folks away from here because we cannot feed them lunch. They need something to eat, but Jesus has fish and bread and feeds the 5,000. Or maybe he heard about the confession where Peter said, you are the Christ. Or maybe he hears the story from two witnesses passing by about this little girl that was dead, and Jesus touched her and raised her from the dead. And maybe if he could raise her from the dead, maybe, just maybe, he could give her sight. But the witnesses are still important. We are here because of witnesses. Do you know that? There are witnesses that testify to Christ and God's love, his grace, and his mercy that has drawn us here. They said to us things like, I found peace with Christ, or come and meet a man that told me everything about myself, or come and you can meet the Master, the Savior of the world. But I want to tell you something. As you are a witness, I want you to remain faithful. I want you to continue to be a faithful witness, and don't give up. The days, the weeks, the months, the years that you witness in your word, that you witness in your life, that you pray for others, that matters. Don't give up. Because if you were to take the 7 days of the week and multiply them times the 30 days of the month and multiply those times the 52 weeks in a year, multiply that number times the 12 months in a year, if you multiply all of that and then multiply that times 1,000 for a millennium, guess what? That still doesn't compare to eternity. That time is not even a drop in the ocean when it compares to eternity. You faithful witnesses, don't give up. Now, there's another group that we run into on this journey here. We run into what our good friends, our naysayers. And we see these guys, they appear in verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Now, the next bullet you're going to see up here is kind of a harsh bullet. But I'm telling you, this is a true bullet. It's not about that this person is your family member. It's not about this person is not your best friend or a good neighbor or anything else. But you need to understand that these naysayers, or the naysayers that we find in our lives, they were simply agents of Satan. They may not have volunteered for it. They may not have even signed up for it. But they were and are agents of Satan, the enemy of our soul. And their purpose is to keep you, and their purpose was to keep Bartimaeus from getting to Christ and what we and what he really needed. This is what they probably said to Mr. Bartimaeus as he was sitting on the side of the road. Well, you know what? Look, Jesus is too busy for you right now. You see the guys going on the trip. He don't have time to stop by. Look, you've been blind. You've been blind all your life. You're cursed. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. You don't have time. These And today's naysayers, they kind of say the same thing. They say, well, there's no Jesus. Or they may come at you with this. Well, you know what? You can really fulfill all your needs. All you have to do is be educated. All you need is money. Oh, if you just had power, you would be okay. Or our naysayers, they say, well, you know, it really doesn't take all of that. All of that prayer, all of that fasting, all of that fellowship. What are you talking about? Studying the Bible? Look, if I want to pray to God, I can just stay at home. And so can you. Or they'll get us with, wait. Just wait. You got time. You're a young man. Wait. Sow your oats. Enjoy life. Take care of yourself. God will be there. But we have to respond to the naysayers just as our friend Bartimaeus did. You see, because we can't wait. The scripture tells us now is the appointed time of salvation. You can't rely on your education, your money, your power, or anything else. For Psalm 63 reminds us that we live in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You see, those needs that are deep down right here, they're not filled with education. They're not filled with money. They're not filled with power. They're not filled with sexual exploits or any of those other things. And we just saw that lived out in the past week where two extremely rich, famous, and powerful people did what? Because they were so full of despair and hopelessness, they took their own lives. We also need to understand that when Satan fills you with doubt, you have to remember this. All that I am not, Jesus is. You see, I am not holy. I am actually unholy. But Jesus is holy. I am not sinless. I am actually sinful. But Jesus is sinless. I really don't know where I need to go or what I need to do, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to do just what Bartimaeus did. We have to shout as loud as we can, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When we are lying in our beds trying to figure out how we're going to manage this situation, we have to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. When we're riding to work, getting ready to have to deal with that boss or our coworkers that we just don't get along with, that are trying to ruin our careers, we have to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. When we get to work, sometimes we might need to close our doors and shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because that is exactly what Bartimaeus did. All of those naysayers around, the scripture says the more they said, be quiet, the louder he got. The more the enemy comes against you, the louder you have to get. The more you have to say it. The more you have to believe it. And then we get to our fourth person, Jesus. And who is this Jesus? He is the Son of David. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's a great rabbi. He's the Word. He is the Lamb of God that takes away sin. He is all those things. But Jesus is also the person that responds to this plea. Because Bartimaeus refused to listen to the naysayers and kept on shouting, Jesus heard it. And when Jesus heard it, he stopped. And when Jesus heard it, the more he said, call Bartimaeus. And when Bartimaeus came over, he said, what do you need? And when he found out what Bartimaeus needed, he gave him that and more. The scripture goes on to say, go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And immediately, his sight was returned, and he followed Jesus Christ along the road. Not only did he heal him also healed him spiritually. And the beautiful thing about our Savior, the beautiful thing about our Christ, the beautiful thing about our Jesus is he is the same today. He's exactly the same today. 2,000 years ago when Bartimaeus was on that road, he was listening for that call. 1,000 years ago when someone called out to Christ, he was listening to that call. Today, if you call out to Christ, he's listening to that call. Tomorrow, if someone was to call out to him, he would be listening because he is the same today. But we need to realize it's not our condition. It's not your condition. The issue is not if I'm spiritually blind. The issue is not if I'm financially broke. The issue is not if I'm physically battered or emotionally bound. Those are not the issue. It is not the naysayers that are telling you don't do it. Why do it? That is not the issue. It is not even the witnesses at this point because you're here. You've already heard what they had to say. That is not the issue. What healed Bartimaeus was his faith. What is the issue here today? It is your faith. Do you have the faith to repeat those same words that Bartimaeus did? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Do you have the willingness, the faith to think it in your mind, the faith to believe it in your heart, and the faith to shout it out loud? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the thing is, we need that. We need that. And we need to exercise that. So the question becomes, what do you want from Jesus? What do you want from Jesus? Now, it could be one of three things. One of them could be renewal. You know Jesus, but it seems that when you pray, there's not that connection like it used to be. There's some hollowness in it. When you read God's word, I just understand this so well, but something is just missing. When I come to fellowship, I hear the songs that they're singing, but for some reason I can't raise my hands and sing in joy. I can't open my mouth. Because you need a renewed spirit. You need your hearts renewed. Now, there are others who you knew Jesus, but somehow you became like that plant that grew up. And it grew up amongst weeds, and the weeds began to choke it out to the point where it was dead. You know Jesus, but for some reason you've walked away. You've turned your back, or as they used to say in old Baptist churches, you're a backslider. And you say, yeah, I heard about this Jesus, and I know about this Jesus, and I accepted this Jesus, but I don't have time for that. Some of us need reunion. Renewal, reunion, and then finally the third R, relationship. Some of us have never had a relationship with Christ. We don't know who he is. We might have heard about it. We might have passed the church, but we have not become one with him. And right now, he's speaking to you. But what would you like? because he is saying that to all of us. Whether we need renewal in our relationship with him, whether we need to be reunited with him, whether we need to establish that first time relationship, what Christ is saying to us is, what do you need from me? What do you want from me? And it's simple. Those same words that Bartimaeus gave. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. In your mind, in your heart. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. But the scripture says Bartimaeus shouted it, and he shouted it even more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. But I don't know if he heard me. You don't know if he heard you. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Really? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Because when you scream it with your loudest internal voice, when you scream it and yell it with your loudest outside voice, it comes from a place that's deep within you. It comes from your very soul. Let's pray. If you stand with me, Father, we love you and thank you today. And Lord God, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But if we need renewal, if we find ourselves needing reunion, or if we need to establish a relationship, Father God, I'm asking that you give your people the courage to shout out those words. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And Lord, as those hearts are changed, as those minds are changed, if they need prayer, you can come up and pray with me. You can come up here and pray by yourself. Pastor Gary is in the back. We have other people that will listen to your prayers around the room. If you want that relationship, if you want that reunion, if you want that renewal, Father God, give it to them right now. Bless them with it, Lord God. Move on their hearts right now, Lord God, that they can't stay in their seats, but they must go to receive those words. And as you're contemplating and thinking about that, we also offer you the opportunity to come to the Father in communion and take a piece of bread which represents his body, which was broken for your sins, was broken that you might have relationship. And we're going to ask that you just dip it into that wine to signify the blood that he was shed for you, that you might have that relationship and that you might enjoy that relationship. At this time, respond as you are for communion, for reunion, for renewal, or for relationship.